We're going to try tonight to finish the book of Philippians. I'm going to give it a try. We're in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we got all the way through last time together, all the way through verse 7. And because we stopped there and broke it up into two Bible studies, the tendency is to forget the first part of it. Forget what you where he left off. And what God's Word says, where Paul left off, is when he's writing from the prison there to the Philippian church, he says, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Don't worry about anything, he says. Pray about everything. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. There's a peace that he promises that'll keep your heart and your mind. Now, many, many are willing to admit it. They'll say it out loud, but I don't have that. It isn't keeping my mind. The peace isn't there. And they catch themselves falling back into the same patterns and into the same routines and into the same worry. Remember we talked about worry. The word means to tear apart or to strangle. Remember we talked about that a little bit. That's what worry does. It tears you apart. It strangles you. It's like you can't function because of worry. And Paul says there's no need to do that. And so he goes on. Now we'll begin that's where we left off. And so remember, this all fits together. Now keep it in context. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now the verse before it has just said this. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what are you going to do with your hearts and your minds? He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, he tells you where your hearts and your minds ought to be located at all times. You can see some people have problems. And it is easy to look at them and say, my goodness, they've got problems. And as long as that's where your mind is, that's where your heart is, that's where you'll be. And you'll end up saying this sort of thing. There's no peace. How could there be peace? Your heart and your mind are in the wrong place. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, finally, brethren, knowing that, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest. People worry. Remember he just said, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. People worry about a lot of things. And it is true that most of what you worry about will never happen. Most of the things that most people worry about will never actually occur. So it's really not true. Many times that's where your heart and your mind is. It's focused on something that's not really true. He said, whatsoever things are true, think about those things. Whatsoever things are honest and just. What that means to you and I, that means whatsoever things are worthy of respect and whatsoever things are right. Think on those things. Then he says, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report. To be pure, when he says, think on these things, first he talked about the truth. So remember, your mind needs to be where it belongs. Your heart needs to be where it belongs, concentrating on what's real and what's true, not on what might be or this situation or that situation. And your heart also needs to be, and mine need to be, on things that are honest and just. Things that are worthy of respect and things that are right. That's where your heart needs to remain and your mind needs to remain. And then things that are pure and lovely and of good report. Pure meaning morally pure. Things that are morally right and pure. Your mind needs to remain on those, and your heart needs to remain on those. Now, you'll notice so far that you live in a pretty dirty world. You walk out down the street and you just get dirty. Your feet get dirty, your eyes get dirty, your heart gets dirty. Walking down the street or driving down the street, seeing the billboards or watching TVs in the windows where they're selling TVs, or you go to the clubs, some of the clubs around here, and you work out, there's a TV you stare at while you're supposedly exercising, and there you're watching, you get dirty. And Paul says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, think on these things. Your heart and your mind. How do you remain at peace? God's going to do it, true. But now you've got some things you need to look out for. What bothers you? You get tired, you start thinking, that guy really bugs me. That girl really bugs me. I don't like the way they did this. I don't like the way they do that. Matter of fact, I don't like their attitude. You are not at peace. Are you? Because you just don't like them. They bug me. There's no peace in that. Your mind and your heart are on the wrong thing. And he says, pure, morally pure, whatsoever is lovely, worth taking a part in or looking at or being a part of, whatsoever is of a good report, worth talking about. You know, there are many things that you and I talk about that the truth is, according to Scripture, they are not worth talking about. They sort of work you up instead of calm you down. Have you ever seen that in yourself or in others? You know how to work people. Hey, how's it going at work? Work, oh man, I hate work. Oh, work, oh, my boss. Pretty soon, both of you hate everything. And oh, that's right, man, all bosses are weird and we should shoot them. And there you go. Your mind is off. Your heart is off. And you're not going to admit it, but the truth is, everybody around can see there's no peace there. Because your mind and your hearts will be kept in Christ Jesus, but there is a way to think. Just like there's right praying, he showed us. There's also right thinking. Now, I don't believe for one moment he's talking about a positive mental attitude. You know, possibility thinking. See yourself driving that roles, or see yourself in that CEO position and think yourself there. That's not at all what this says. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. And then he says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Virtue and praise. It has virtue if it motivates you to do better in the Lord. It has virtue if it causes you to want to do what God says, want to be where God is, want to be a part of what God is doing. That has virtue in it. If it just brings you down or causes you grief or gets you frustrated to think about it, your heart and your mind are on the wrong thing, Paul says. Virtue and praise. If it has praise, it's worth commending to others. In other words, if it's got virtue and praise, it motivates us to be more godlike or godly. I shouldn't say godlike. That would be misunderstood in the world today. More godly or more like the Lord. If it has praise, it's worth commending to others. It's worth talking about and encouraging others in it. So now he's showing us, after he showed us the right way, he says there's right prayer. Now he says there's right thinking. And usually, we read this and we think, well, yeah, that's true. How's that done? A long time ago, when King David? Well, when he was younger, he wrote a psalm, Psalm 19. And it may surprise you what it says. I'll read you verses 7 through 9. Listen closely and see if you notice anything similar. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. If you think about it for a moment, he uses almost the same language that we just read our minds ought to be thinking about and focused on. And where is all that at? It's actually God's word. The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. The judgments of the Lord are true and right altogether. Maybe we ought to spend more time talking about God's Word. Maybe we ought to spend more time in God's Word. Maybe those of you who say there's no peace, there is no peace. Maybe the simple answer is your heart and your mind, which if you've prayed correctly, like he said, pray, don't worry, left it with the Lord, then the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds. Where will your hearts and minds be kept? In His Word. Listening to the things that God has said listen to. Where are our hearts and our minds many times? Oh, on our troubles. On how rough we've had it today. Or last week. Or this whole life. How tough this whole life has been. All the bad things that have happened to us. How everybody doesn't love us like they should. How everything isn't going my way. You think that person is at peace? That peace that passes all understanding? Not at all. No, that person is miserable. And let me tell you what happens when you're miserable. According to Scripture, you're going to make somebody else miserable. Misery can't stand to be alone. And so you're going to try and put that on somebody else. And so Paul says, don't do that. Whatsoever things are true. And then he gives us a list. Think on these things. And then he goes on. He says, now there's right praying. Then there's right thinking. Now you really ask yourself, am I really praying? Am I giving to the Lord what I need to give Him? Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And we talked about that last time we got together. Now, am I thinking correctly? Or am I letting my mind and my heart get too dirty as I walk through the world? Am I starting to pick up too much and now there's no peace? My mind's not at rest. My heart isn't at rest. There's too much junk. Go back to the Word of God. The washing of the Word. You'll find Paul talk about it. Because when you walk through the world, you do get your feet dirty. In the days that Jesus walked as a man here on the earth, dirty roads, dusty roads, of course. And the practice was when you would come to a home, they would show you hospitality by having the lowest servant in the house wash your feet. Remember, do you remember on the night Jesus was betrayed, how he washed the disciples' feet? They didn't understand what he was doing, but he washed their feet anyway. When he came to Peter, you remember the situation. Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. You shouldn't. No. And Jesus said, if I can't wash your feet, I have no part, or you have no part with me. And so Peter said, okay, then wash, give me a bath. Wash my head, wash my hands. Jesus said, those that are clean don't need a full bath, just need your feet washed. See, what happens is you go through this world and you get dusty and dirty. How do you stay clean? How do you stay right thinking? How does that heart remain? Well, the power of God is the key. You need the Holy Spirit, but you're going to walk through this world, when you get a little dirty, the washing of the Word of God in your life keeps you dust free. You catch yourself not liking somebody because they done you wrong. You know what's going to happen is you're not going to be happy. There's going to be no peace in that. You're going to want to get back into some right thinking. Get back into the Word. It's the Word of the Lord that is perfect, the law of the Lord, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord, sure, it makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And so Paul says, right praying, that's the way to do it. Right thinking, that's the way to do this as you walk through this world. And now, right living. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. And the peace of God shall be with you. There it is again. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace of God will be with you. If you're doing what? Praying about the things correctly like you should instead of worrying. Thinking and having your heart and minds aimed in the right direction, right thinking. And then, of course, right living. Those things, he says, which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. Practice. The word do in the Greek we would use today in our language, practice them. And if you've ever played any kind of sport at all, well, as a matter of fact, it doesn't have to be sport. If you took typing in school, God forbid, if you ever had to sit in front of a typewriter, did they make you practice? Some of you still don't do it well because you sort of cheated. I did too when I was in school. And the teacher was tough. And they would put a piece of paper over the keyboard, your hands there and the paper over. So you can look down all you want. There's nothing but just paper. And practice is what we did. That's what typing class was. I took it because I thought it was going to be an easy credit. Typing. What do you do for 45 to 50 minutes every day for a full semester? Type. What for? So you can get a government job. What else? You practiced and you practiced and you practiced. You played any sports at all. It doesn't matter whether it was little league or high school or college or pro. Every one of them does the same thing. They practice. And you practice some things over and over and over again. And you keep saying to the coach, I got this. Well, let's just do it again. Drill all the time. When you show up to practice, the first thing the coach would have us do many times is take a lap. We didn't do anything wrong. No, take a lap. Just run. What for? You need the practice. Your body needs that practice. Your body needs to be used to it. You practice it all the time. He said, you may never win a football game, but you'll still be in shape at the end of it. You won't be breathing hard at the end, whether you win or lose, because no team of mine will be beaten by being outrun. And so there you go, you're practicing. You played basketball, football, baseball, you ran track, volleyball, wrestling, chess. Whatever you did, you practiced. And that's how you got better at it. If you got better at it, isn't it? You practiced it. And Paul says, now pray about things, don't worry about them. Now keep your mind and heart where they belong. Now the Holy Spirit will do that, but you've got to remember, as you're walking through the world, it's dirty, and you're going to get your mind off. Watch out. Think on these things. Dwell upon them. Keep a heart on these things. And now, the things that you have heard, you've learned, received, and heard, and seen even, practice them. James puts it this way. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Practice them. It is when somebody comes up to you and mistreats you, that's an opportunity to practice being kind. God is saying, here, Bob, Here's some practice. Oh, coach, we got this one. Good. Practice it again. Do it again. Do it again. Run that play one more time. We're going to do some more drills. Practice, because practice will make perfect. And so Paul says to these people, as he's going to close this letter, pray. Pray correctly. And there's peace. Your hearts and your minds being kept. Think this way, and there's peace. Practice the things you know to be of the Lord. And there's peace in that. Remember, let me read the end of that. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. Do you recall when we studied Colossians chapter 3? That was like 7 years ago. Do you recall that he said, let the peace of God rule? Do you remember that verse? Was that 3:15? Sounds right. And we talked about the word rule in our language means umpire. Remember that? Let the peace of God umpire. Now remember when you played, remember the referees and the umpires in the sports that you played, whatever that sport was? There was always someone there to judge what was going on. And if you stepped out of bounds, someone blew a whistle and said, out of bounds. Or if you, in track, if you stepped out of your lane, the whistle was blown and you're disqualified because you changed lanes and you were in a race where you couldn't do that. Or you're on the football field and the referee would blow a whistle and say, offsides. That's the umpire. That's the referee. That's what we're told, let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God umpire in your lives. As you're going through this life, God is going to say to you, offsides, backfield in motion, wait a minute, out of bounds. And you're going to stop and you're going to replay it or do it again. The peace of God is going to be there. You're going to be practicing these things, and the peace of God will be there. And what will the peace of God do? Let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God umpire. You know when you're not in line, God says to you, doesn't he? You're not in line. What you're doing is not good. And you usually have a choice almost instantly to ignore him and to go ahead or to stop. If the referee's blowing the whistle, you can ignore that and keep on going. I've seen boxing matches where you'll hear the bell and it'll ring 4 or 5 times and the guys are still punching at each other. They are ignoring the umpire. They're ignoring the referee. They're ignoring the rules. And if they continue to do it, of course, they lose points, or they can even be thrown out of the fight. When you and I ignore the umpire, we lose points, or we can be pulled even out of the fight, pulled out of the game, stand on the sidelines. You know, the penalty box, 2 minutes in the penalty box. Let the peace of God rule. That's what he's talking about here. Practice these things, and the peace of God shall be with you. Pray instead of worry. Think correctly, and practice the things that you know to be right. You say, but I can't any longer. I just can't. I've tried it. I'm tired. I've tried to love that girl. I've tried to love that guy. I've tried to do good at work. I have tried to do what my parents want me to do, and I'm tired. Well, we're told that when we're weak, he is strong. When Paul said to the Lord, I can't go anymore. This pain is too much. I can't deal with it. Take it away. He had prayed 3 times. God said no. Paul said, finally, therefore I take pleasure in my often infirmities and weaknesses. He didn't let it stop him from practicing what was right, from keeping his mind and heart where they belong by the power of the Holy Spirit, from praying about issues and laying them before the Lord. He didn't let that stop him. He continued to practice. And he says to you and I, do the same. Practice what you know to be true. Of course, once again, what are you going to practice? You're going to practice the things that God's Word tells you to do, the things that God Word and His Holy Spirit are teaching. You're going to practice them. Practicing them means to do them. Not just to say I'm a Christian and then do whatever you want and however you feel. Not to be impolite and rude and have an excuse for that impoliteness and that rudeness, but on the contrary, to stop when the Holy Spirit blows the whistle and the umpire says out of bounds. To stop and get back in bounds. That's what Paul says. But I rejoiced, Paul says, in the Lord greatly, verse 10, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He'd been in jail for 2 years, and they had lost contact with him and didn't know what had happened to him. And finally, somehow, they got word that he made it on over to Rome. So they had been supporting Paul financially and with food and with clothing and with whatever else they could give to Paul. They were supporting, but they had lost track of him for a while. And he's very, you know, he's thankful and very merciful and full of grace here. And he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. It's been years since he had heard from them because they lost community. It wasn't like, you know, here you got email, you've got cell phones, you've got all kinds of ways to keep in touch. It didn't work that way. When you were moved from one prison to the other, nobody told your friends. You weren't allowed one phone call. Marconi hadn't been born yet, so, and Mr. Bell, it didn't work, you know. And Samuel Morris was still too little and was just tapping his fingers. Anyway. But he says, you were also careful. In other words, you wanted to help, but you lacked the opportunity. You couldn't find me. Wasn't your fault. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. He says, I'm not saying thank you because I've been so burdened and so bummed out that nobody was sending me money. He said, I'm not speaking in respect of want because to tell you the honest truth, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content there. How do you learn something? And this learn here in the case isn't just a mental learning. It is an experiential learning. It is an on-the-job training kind of learning. He didn't read it in a book. He experienced it and was taught it. He learned in whatever circumstances he was to be content. Have we learned that yet? That's an easy, easy thing to say. I remember when, as a young Christian, they explained it to me this way. You are either a thermostat or you are either a thermometer. You're one or the other. And I used to think, what? Well, a thermometer is just there and it is changed by its surroundings. If its surroundings are hot, the thermometer's changed. If its surroundings cool down, the thermometer changes. Are you a thermometer? Are your circumstances wrecking you up? Or you could be a thermostat. What does a thermostat do? Changes its surroundings. The thermostat says it's a little cool. Boom. It turns the heat on. Paul was a thermostat. That's what they taught me back in the old days. He learned that his circumstances were all of the Lord. And he learned in them he could be a thermostat instead of thermometer. Now, everybody's one or the other. Are you content? It's a fact that the truth is, when things are going my way, when things are going your way, come on, you're content. It doesn't last. But it's fun, isn't it? That's just what I wanted for my birthday. That's just what I was hoping would happen. I wanted that raise and I got it. All right, now I'm content. See, because the temperature's great. But now the temperature starts to rise a little and what happens? It changes me. What do you mean I can't have 2 weeks vacation? No, what do you mean? All of a sudden now my circumstances aren't as nice anymore, and they're changing, and all of a sudden I'm not happy, I'm not content, the temperature is rising and I'm changing now. Let's be honest, most of us are content when our circumstances are okay. Then when our circumstances are not okay, now we're not content. We know what God says. We know what God expects, but we're seriously considering not doing it anyway. Because we're not content. We need to become a thermostat. We need to begin to practice the things that we know are true. The things that we know we're called to be doing. And your circumstances shouldn't rule. Paul says, I'm not speaking in respect of want. I have learned. In whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to be absolutely dirt poor and I know how to live high on the hog. Those are cliches. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. He said, I've been in places where I've had so much to eat, I couldn't eat anymore. I've been in places where there was nothing to eat and I went days without eating. And he says, I've learned how to abound and to suffer need. And then he says something that is so quoted by Christians everywhere. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now let me tell you what he didn't say. He did not say, I can do everything. That's not what it means. That's how it's quoted in the Christian church, though. No, he says, I can do all things, and that is in the context of God's will. In Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. For instance, I'll show you. He can't run faster than a speeding bullet. He can't leap a tall building in a single bound. He isn't more powerful than a locomotive. That's Superman. We think, super Christian. Well, don't worry, brother. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Only in the context of God's will. So don't run out there and think, I can do all things. I'm going to knock that bus over. Just shove it right now. No. I don't think that that's what Scripture's teaching. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All he is saying is, I'm in prison. And I can rejoice here. And I can work in this because God has allowed it and I trust him. That's what he's saying. Whatever circumstance or situation I'm in, it's because of Jesus Christ. I can deal with it. He gives me the strength. He gives me the ability. He gives me the wisdom. He gives me all that I need to handle what I'm in. And if it's a great time and it's a big banquet, he helps me to pick the right foods, you know, so that I don't get too full too fast, right? And we can eat a lot more. And when it's in absolute poverty, he says, God gives me the ability to understand it and to learn from it and to deal with it. It's all the power of the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In the context of God's will. Notwithstanding, he says, nevertheless, you have done well that you have communicated with my affliction. Thank you, he's saying, for sending the money and the materials or the food, whatever they send him, to meet my needs. I thank you for that. Now, he says, you Philippians, you know also, in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. He says, I received nothing from other churches. When he went on down to Thessalonica, it was the little church of Philippi that was still sending him support. And at Corinth, he wouldn't accept support from the Corinthian church because he knew that they were going to hold it against him. He loved them and he knew it wouldn't do him good. He was still receiving from the Philippians then. He says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Do you know that the Philippians supported the Apostle Paul each time they could? And they lost track of him for 2 years. But hey, still, when they found him again, they began to support him again. Do you realize that that support still counts to them today? You read about it now. Paul could preach the gospel because of the help of the Philippians, and it's still paying off. Do you realize that little bit that they were able to give him still brings people into the kingdom today? See, their giving went a long way. I think so does ours. We're a little stingy, but when we remember what it's all about, notice how God makes it abound. And here, Paul, to this very day, people still are coming to the Lord because the Philippians supported Paul. That's impressive. But he says, I have all and abound. I am full having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell, talking about the sacrifice. A sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Again, what does that verse not say? My God shall supply all your want. It does not say that. And so I said, oh, well, then I can have anything I want. No, it doesn't say that. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Right? By Christ Jesus. Now, God has a lot of riches in glory. Whatever you need, God has it. It's available. It's not like, oh my goodness, I've gone and I've asked God for that, but you know, that's out of stock. It's back ordered. We can't have any of those. God, I need a special blessing here. I'm just really working. I ask you to work in so-and-so's life in my family. They're really hurting. And God says, oh, I would love to, but I'm out. I'm out of that. That won't be in for another 90 days. No. It's there. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your needs, not all your wants. Bible teachers, take this and make you think you can have everything. The other verse makes you think you can travel faster than a speeding bullet. Understand what the Bible says. When you read your Bible, study it, listen to it, see what God's Word has to say. He says this, now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. Say hello. Everybody that's out here says hello to you, he says. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Some of them that had worked in Caesar's palace got born again. And he says, they send their love too. They say hello too. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then he ends by saying, so let it be. It's been a short book, but it's full. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. He's full of grace. We should be full of grace. He's full of mercy. We should be full of mercy. Your minds and your hearts. Jesus says, guard your heart. Remember walking through this world, how dirty the world is. You get dusty. You really get dirty. Your mind needs to stay in a place. Your heart needs to stay where it belongs. We easily get ourselves out looking all around. Remember the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Read your Bible. Pray. Practice the things that you have learned, that you have seen as you're reading the Scriptures, how Jesus walked, and practice those things. The Holy Spirit will give you the strength, yes, but practice them. That they need to be lived out, walked out. There will be peace. That's the promise. And it'll pass understanding. And the umpire, God's Holy Spirit, will rule. The peace of God will rule. God will let you know. Hold it, you're about to head the wrong way here. Hold it, you're stepping out of bounds. Hold it, don't say that. Or sometimes he'll say, oh, you said that, you shouldn't have. Blows the whistle, get back in bounds. Practice by the power of the Holy Spirit doing the things that are pleasing to God. Think rightly. Pray. Walk rightly. And listen to God. Let's bow our heads together.